Amen and amen. And that's the challenge for all of us. One that I would like to submit to you today and just to think about. And one that I've tried to live up to for the last, how long has it been? 46 years? Anyway, that's one of my Romans 12, 1 and 2 that we're looking at today. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Those two verses has been since I really got serious for the Lord, one of my favorite life verses. Of course, Kathy says they're all my favorites. But the one that goes right along with it in my signature verse is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And it really says the same thing in a different way. It says, trust the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Amen? See, that's what it means to be a living sacrifice, is when we totally give ourselves over to God in every circumstance and every situation, good times and bad times as well. Being a living sacrifice, that's God's mandate for our lives. That's God's request for us. That's God's expectation for each of our lives, that we would totally trust in Him. And you know, when we start leaning on our own understanding, we're gonna mess up, amen? But when we trust Him in all things, the good times and the bad times, whatever we're facing out there, as the song says, Lord, I surrender, I sacrifice my life to You. And that's what God laid on my heart to share with you this morning. And there's an urgency, Paul says. I love that word. He says, I beseech you, or I urge you. You know, it's almost like he's begging and pleading with the brethren. I beseech you, I urge you, brethren, that you would be a living sacrifice. Someone that's totally committed and sold out to the Lord. And I think we can all understand the urgency of being that living sacrifice. We can understand the urgency of totally surrendering our lives to the Lord, because, guys, we're living in a day when there's more lost people in the world. Hell's enlarging herself every day. Hell's getting bigger. Straight is the way and narrow is the gate that leads to destruction. And many there be that go in there at... Wait a minute, I just got that totally wrong, didn't I? Straight is the way and narrow is the gate that leadeth into eternal life. And few there be that find it. But broad is the way and wide is the gate that leads to destruction. And many there be that go in there at. And that's why there's an urgency today that we would be living sacrifices. Because you know something? People aren't coming to church anymore. The lost aren't coming to church anymore. But every day you and I are out there in the communities around those lost people. It may be at the grocery store, maybe at school, maybe at the gas station. You know, everywhere that we go, statistically today, they say that 9 out of every 10 people that we meet, now this is frightening to me, do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. 9 out of every 10. I don't know, in Gilmer County, I'm sure it's the same that it is in Fanning County. In the last 10 years, Fanning County, and I'm sure Gilmer County population has increased by 10 to 12,000 people. Would that be about right? But if you go back and look at the church population, it's decreased, if anything. The number of people who are attending church today is less today than it was 10 years ago. And that's, you know, that's frightening to me, because we've had this influx of 10 to 12,000 people into our communities, and yet our churches aren't growing. No wonder God says it's an urgent thing that we would be living sacrifices, because the only Bible, the only message that a lot of people are going to see is you and me and our relationship with the Lord. We're the only ones that they can look at and say, is that what a Christian looks like? And I hope and pray when they look at us, they can get a positive understanding that we're living for the Lord, that our faith is not in something that's empty or hopeless, but it's in something that in someone that's alive and well, and He's living within our hearts. So there's an urgency, an urgency. It's the sense that I get when I think about Jesus. Y'all remember the passage of Scripture over in John chapter 4 and the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman? Jesus said, "I must needs go through Samaria." There was an urgency. I wonder who today you must needs go see, or you must needs be an example before. How many people do we know? Might be somebody in our own family. Might be a neighbor across the road. God give us this urgency, this desire, this importance. That's what Paul was saying here when he said, "I urge you, I beg you, I beseech you to live up to God's expectation, to be a living sacrifice, a living for the Lord, surrendered, trusting in Him, being an example." And I thought about some of those people that are living sacrifices. What is God's expectations for believers? What does it look like? What does it look like? And I love some of the Old Testament characters. Some of my favorite people: Noah. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and he became a living sacrifice and built what? An ark. Had never rained, but he trusted the Lord. See. God said, "Lord, Noah, build an ark." And so Noah said, "Okay." You know, I don't know if a call for your life will be as demanding, but again, trust the Lord. Lean on Him. Believe in Him. Abraham, leave your family, leave your homeland. I'm going to take you to a place, a new land. And Abraham really never got to see that new land, but he left. He became a sacrifice. He trusted the Lord. One of my favorite examples is Joseph. Oh, I love Joseph. I love the story of Joseph. I mean, look at all he went through. Sold into slavery by his brothers who didn't like him. You know, was in Potiphar's house, and his wife, Potiphar's wife, lied and said, "Joseph tried to have his way with me," and so he's cast into prison again. Then down in the dungeon, but seeing all of this, he was trusting the Lord. He was a living sacrifice. He didn't lean on his own understanding. Eventually, he was raised up and became second only to Pharaoh himself in an evil land. Who knows what God has in store for you and for me? I mean, Mike talked about the association, and I would never have dreamed I'd be your missionary. I'd never dreamed where God has allowed me to be a part of. And it's not me, it's God. And it's just living the surrendered life to Him, and He gets all the honor and glory. And that's why we may go through good times and we may go through bad times. Joseph was going through a bad time, but he never gave up on the Lord. And when it came back to, when his brothers and the family got back together, he looked down and said, "Hey, don't worry about it. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." What are you going through today? What are you dealing with that even in the midst of your storm, God can make something good out of it? The world may look at it as evil. You may be going through a battle with sickness or lost a loved one, or I don't know what you're going through, but let God raise you up and trust Him. Lord, don't say, "Why am I going through this?" But Lord, help me to learn what You want me to do in my life. I've always said that when we go through trials and struggles, it's either an opportunity to grow bitter or better. God, help us to lean not on our own understanding, but become that living sacrifice. Totally surrendered to the Lord. That God, help me to know what You want me to learn from this situation. Lord, help me to be an example to You, to others, to trust in You. Three of my favorites: Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Talks about living sacrifices. Oh, King, and boy, in the day, in the climate we're living in today, and I'll speak a little bit more about this in just a moment, but, you know, so many people are bowing down. And the golden image was raised up. Nebuchadnezzar made the golden image, and everybody needed to bow down. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, Lord, we're going to trust you. Oh, King, we know what you can do to us, but we're not going to bow to your image. We're going to trust God. We're going to be living. And you're talking about living sacrifices. Now, you know, if you don't bow down, we're going to throw you into that burning fiery furnace. Well, oh, King, you know, we know what's going to happen, but we're not going to bow. We're not going to yield. We're not going to lean on our own understanding. We know we're going to burn up probably, but we know our God's able to deliver us. And even if He doesn't, see, there's the faith. There's the living sacrifice. Even if He doesn't bring us through, we're still better off. That's where Paul says to live is Christ and to die is gain. Amen? That's faith. That's the living sacrifice. That's living for the Lord. And then we could talk about Paul himself, but I guess the greatest example of a living sacrifice would be Jesus Christ, wouldn't it? Remember in the garden, he prayed until his sweat became as drops of blood, and he said, not my will, but thine be done. That's a living sacrifice. When we can honestly say, God, not my will, not my desires, not my wants, but Lord, I surrender to you. Whatever you want, take it. Take me and use me. Take me and develop within me what you want. Not trusting in myself, but trusting in you. And then, you know, and I've thought on this, I've just got to thinking about all those Christians who are being beheaded in the Middle East. Talking about a living sacrifice. You know, all you got to do is deny the Lord and you can live. But they didn't give up on their faith. God help you and I to be a living sacrifice, even if it requires death. That's kind of like what Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross daily and follow me. That's a living sacrifice. I know. This goes against the grain of some people's preaching, you know, the health, wealth, and prosperity and the positive thinking and all that, but this is biblical truth. We're talking about reality. We're talking about what it means to really be a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ, a believer. God's expectation for our life. Dying to self. Dying and living for Jesus Christ. Why should we do that? Why in the world would anybody want to be thrown into a furnace? Why in the world would anyone want to have their head chopped off rather than just saying, well, you know, I deny Jesus? Why? Paul says, and you got to go back to the first part of the verse, I beseech you therefore, brethren. And any time we see the therefore, we need to look and see what it's there for. Amen? And when we see the therefore, we've got to go back and see what preceded it. And in the first 11 chapters of the book of Romans, it's therefore to prove that Jesus Christ is the only way. That Jesus Christ is better than works, better than Abraham, being of the seed of Abraham, better than the angels. There's no other way, no other name given in heaven and earth whereby we must be saved. It's therefore to prove that the grace of God is sufficient for our every need, and it's through grace that we're saved, bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, not through Abraham, not through works, not by the angels, but by the blood of Jesus Christ. The gospel, as Paul said in Romans 1:16, is the power of God unto salvation. So it's therefore we ought to be a living sacrifice because of the price that was paid for us upon the cross of Calvary for our sins. because we've been bought with a price. We no longer belong to ourselves. We belong to Jesus Christ. Amen? And therefore, we ought to live for Him because of the grace of God and because of the mercies of God. I beseech you, therefore, the grace of God, but also by the mercies of God. Grace of God is God giving us what we don't deserve. Amen? None of us deserve salvation. None of us deserve to have our name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But He loved us so much that He gave us that. And then the mercies of God, He withholds what we deserve. I deserve hell. I deserve to be eternally and forever separated from God. That's what hell is. So God withheld what I deserved. I mean, there was a time in my life that, you know, I was lost. And if I died, I'd spend eternity in hell. Then there was a time in my life I was backslidden. I'd gotten away from God, and I wasn't where I needed to be. But God was merciful to me, and rather than giving me what I deserved, He gave me mercy and withheld what I deserved, and He gave me grace. That I didn't deserve. And Paul says, I love this, in the last part of verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I want you to think about that. It's not, Paul is saying, God is saying, it's not too much for God to ask for us to be living sacrifices, considering what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. Amen? I love it. I love it. So, it's your reasonable worship. It's not too much for God to ask for us to live for Him, to sell out to Jesus, to be a living sacrifice. That's God's expectation for our lives, to trust Him and lean not on our own understanding, but acknowledge Him in all ways. Now, how can we do that? How in the world can we accomplish being what God expects in our lives? Well, Paul gives us the answer in verse 2. Be not conformed to this world. Be not, you know, I think you could put in there, don't be politically correct. Amen? That's being conformed to this world. Conform to this world. Listen, the world has so many ideas. It doesn't matter what you believe. As long as you're sincere in what you believe, you're all right. That's what the world would say, right? Why, there's many ways to get to heaven. Like, you see that mountain over there? Why, you can go up the back side, and I can go up the front side, and y'all can go up this side, and we're all getting to the top. That's what the world would say about getting to heaven. You know, it doesn't matter what direction you take. But you know, that's politically correct, but I want to be biblically correct. And the Bible says there's only how many? How many? And that's through Jesus Christ. Amen? So don't be conformed to this world. Don't let the world dictate what you believe. You see, to be politically correct, it's not a life. It's a choice. Yeah. That's politically correct. You know, that little baby's not a life. That's just a woman's choice. But you know, I'm glad that even when somebody's politically correct, the grace of God can still overshadow and forgive, but don't be conformed to this world. Why? It's not living together. It's cohabitating. That changes it, right? If you name it something different. In other words, it's not sin anymore. We just rename it, and we could go on and on. It's not sin, it's a lifestyle. And I've got every right. And you do. You can do anything you want to do. But one day there's going to be a judgment, amen? Don't be conformed. Don't let this world shape you and mold you Know what the Bible says. That, you know, and that's what it goes on. So how can we be a living sacrifice? Don't let the world shape our thoughts and our mind and who we are, but be transformed. I love that word, transformed. That's what Jesus is doing in my life. I'm still a work in progress. I haven't arrived yet. I don't know about you. He's still working on me. Praise God, I'm not what I used to be. And I'm not still what I ought to be. But praise God, I'm not what I'm going to be. Amen. I'm being transformed from within. From within by the power of God and the Spirit of God being changed. I love, and I don't understand it. I'll be honest with you. I don't fully understand how God transforms my life, but I don't understand how that transformer out there on that pole reduces the electricity enough that we can turn these lights on and they'll burn without blowing out. That's being transformed. Something being changed into something that's usable. And just because I don't understand it doesn't mean I don't use it. I don't understand how I can go out there and turn that key in that car and the motor will start and I can put it in gear and I can put my foot on that gas pedal and that car will move. I don't fully understand that, but it works and praise God, I'm going to use it. I don't understand how God can change my life, but I walk by faith and not by sight. I live trusting in Him, and yes, I fall and I make mistakes, and even through the trials and tribulations and struggles of life, I strive to say, God, help me to learn how to trust You. Lord, help me to learn how to be that living sacrifice. Lord, help me to learn to lean upon You in every circumstance and situation, to be able to lift up my hands and say, Lord, I'm Yours. And help me to be transformed. And how are we transformed? By the renewing of our mind. And how do we renew our mind? Knowing about Jesus, reading His Word, praying. Those are the transformational things that changes our life. Coming to church. Those are the opportunities that we have to learn more about Jesus and collectively strengthen ourselves with one another. I love what Lauren shares a while ago with the children as she's teaching them about the books of the Bible. Never seen it like that before, but I love that. Had you ever seen that before? How many of you can right now can quote the first, 12, 14 books of the Bible? 17 books of the Bible because of what Lauren taught the children. Amen? That's being transformed. That's renewing our mind. And we're never too old to learn. We're never too old to change. I mean, we might get set in our ways, but God can change our ways. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's what I want in my life. I want God's will to be done above it. Above and beyond everything else. Like Jesus prayed in the garden, not my will, but thine be done. You know, we pray, Jesus taught us to pray that model prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what I want in my life. I want His will to be done. I want to be surrendered to Him. I want to be a living sacrifice. Just like the angels in heaven are worshiping Him and praising Him and adoring Him and serving Him. That's what's being done in heaven. That's what I want to be done in my life here on earth. Surrendered to Him. A living sacrifice. Letting His will be done. I pray that that's your desire today. I pray that as we have just reflected on a few thoughts about being a living sacrifice, that God will challenge you. And you along with me will say, Lord, help me to become what You want me to be. I surrender my all. We sang that song, I surrender all. That's my desire for my life. And I know it is for yours as well. You wouldn't be here this morning if you didn't want God's will to be done in your life. And so, you know, it's a daily process. It's not something that just happens overnight. I wish we could be saved and all the bad stuff would be taken out and all the new stuff would be put in. You know, old things have passed away. All the things are becoming new, but it's daily. It's a daily process. Until the Lord calls us home, we're all going to have the struggles. We're all going to face the difficulties. But God, in the struggles and the difficulties, help me to learn to trust you. Help me to be a living sacrifice to those that I come in contact this week. Help me to be a Bible that is open and a mouth that is testifying to the grace and power and love of Jesus Christ. I believe, you know, some people say we're living in a post-Christian society. I believe we're living in the greatest day in our lifetime. We're living in a pre-Christian society. There's a world that's lost, and you and I have the words of eternal life. Help us to be a living sacrifice as we go from these doors out into the world. Somewhere, it may be here, I don't know, there's a sign that as you're pulling out of the parking lot, it says, you're entering the mission field. Amen. God help us to be a missionary for Him. Father, I thank you so much for the time we've had to share together, just a few thoughts that you laid on my heart. I pray, God, that it's found a lodging place, and I know it has, because you promised your word would not go out void. And I pray, Lord, if there's one here today that does not know you, you know, the process begins by being saved, by accepting that grace of the blood of Jesus Christ. And if there's one that's never done that, that today they'd come and just say, I want that in my life. I want to be a Christian. I want to be saved. And then those of us that are saved, Lord, help us just to totally surrender ourselves to you today. Father, to allow you to do whatever in our lives that you would will, whether it's through struggles, difficulties, sickness, death. Lord, help us to trust in you. Help us to be that living sacrifice that others may be able to say, man, look what a difference Jesus is making in that individual's heart and in that individual's life. Lord, help us to be that kind of an example to a lost and dying world. Thank you for this time we've had to share together today, and we pray that you're pleased in everything that's done. Help us to surrender to you afresh and anew. In Jesus' name we humbly pray. Amen.